guard the door.
Send the McEachern's out.
Aha, here we are. There we go. Yep, we got it. We can. I'll call the hearing back to order. And I know that the governor's office and the attorney general's office and I believe Senator Latz have been working hard. Let's get an update as to what's been happening since this morning.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And we have indeed been getting a lot of different parties involved, as is the nature sometimes of the legislative process. We reached a tentative agreement on this shortly before this hearing, and we needed to make sure that everyone who had an interest or concern in it understood what was being proposed, and we tried to incorporate their feedback into the process as well. I think we have touched all of the bases on this at this point, understanding that what we have before us now is it's a plan. It's not a 30-page detailed legal document, but it's the broad outlines of a plan for getting some immediate emergency hardship financial relief to the survivors or the next of kin of the from the bridge collapse. The Attorney General's office is continuing to review the matter, and if there's any legal fine-tuning that needs to be done to the plan, you know, that's something which can be done at a later time. Directly with the administration. But what we have are broad outlines, I think, of a good plan that will do this. And let me just do a quick reiteration of the scope of the plan, and I'll tell you what particular change has been made after we've had some additional discussions with leadership from both the Senate and from the House. The plan would use $1 million of existing appropriations out of the general fund tort claim line and the Trunk Highway Fund tort claim line to provide hardship compensation for lost wages for those who were injured or family members of those who died on the I-35W bridge collapse. The payment would be capped at $10,000. That would be an interim cap if it turned out that the claims were not so great as to use up the funds that we're proposing to make available. Then on individual cases where claims would be larger than that, there could be an increase in that amount as well. It would be limited to lost wages not already compensated by other sources, such as workers' compensation or disability insurance or payments made by charitable organizations that collected donations to assist individuals associated with this collapse. Interim payments would be made with the understanding that they are advance payments. If there is a future settlement that would implicate the same scope of funding, then this would be offset in any future payments, so there would not be any admission of liability. There would be no admissibility of this payment in any judicial proceedings that might arise out of this, out of the bridge collapse. The model for this would be the existing no-fault reimbursement process where people get paid their no-fault benefits from auto insurance coverage. This is not a we technically don't have the authority to bind that process. That is a separate state law that deals with insurance companies and their insureds directly, but the goal here is to provide funds that would not be subject to subrogation claims by other third-party payers. That also plays into the limitations that we're dealing with right now within the scope of this interim payment, the $10,000 limit or something, probably not too far off from that depending on individual circumstances. Department of Administration Risk Management Division and their claims adjusters at Allied would administer the program. We believe that there is already the existing authority within the executive branch to go ahead and to do this. Claims would be made through the Department of Administration, and they would require some kind of documentation both of the fact that wages were lost, that the person, the claimant, was on the bridge when it collapsed, and that they were injured, or if it's in the case of a family member, that they died as a result of that bridge collapse. The one change that we have made in the proposal that you have written before you is if you look at the second dark bulleted paragraph, line 2, where it says, and who suffered physical injury or death, delete the word physical. And from line 3, similarly, delete the word physical. So I'll read the whole paragraph as amended. Individuals or their legal representatives who were present on the bridge when it collapsed and who suffered injury or death could request interim payment for lost wages resulting from the injury or death. It is the intent that the scope of compensation available here would be the same as in the existing tort system. So the general rule is that damages would be compensable if they arise out of physical injury or death. If there are some circumstances under which pure mental disability or emotional distress that were so severe as to cause a lost wages, someone that could not go to work as a result of it, if existing Minnesota tort law allowed for that kind of recovery, then that would not be precluded by this proposal. It would be included in this proposal. I'm not making any statement as to the availability for that, because we haven't done any extensive legal research to verify the availability or the scope of the tort law in that particular context. And similarly, to the extent that existing tort law would allow for lost wages for family members who had to take off time from work to care for an injured spouse, for example, or a child. Again, it's not clear that that will be available through this fund. You know, what happens down the road with regard to the longer-term questions of how the legislature deals with the bridge collapse is a different question. It's not clear that this will be available. But it is possible, subject to consultation through the Attorney General's office, and they will be advising the administration on exactly what the scope of compensable injuries would be and claimants would be. But again, it would be limited to those connected with being on the bridge and the collapse of the bridge causing the damages. So that's the basic proposal. And I'm hopeful that the committee will find some merit in it.
Here we have comments or questions. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Letts, I think I am supportive of the structure you've outlined. The only caution that I have with relates to the questions that I was raising earlier this morning about the use of the Trunk Highway Fund to support tort actions. And I raising this as we proceed, and I'm assuming draft some kind of relief bill that I would like us to consider doing something, maybe reappropriating the money from the Trunk Highway Fund to the general fund claims category and make an effort to focus the Trunk Highway Funds for the purpose that is constitutionally mandated. And I know in the interim I was doing some discussions with people that are closer to the Transportation Committee's ongoing discussion about this, and I think to the extent that we could take the position that we are in favor of not furthering the use of trunk highway funds for things other than maintenance and building, but still accomplish the purposes. I'd like to see if there's a way to do that. I think the amount of money we're talking about, the fact that we have some things there is a good thing, but I think it would be good to find a way to say this is coming out of a general fund category that is reserved for tort claims and not out of the trunk highway fund. So that would be my only comment, but I think the general structure you propose is very workable and I think a good step to take initially.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Letts.
Senator Hahn, I share your concerns in that regard, and others of those that we've consulted with have those concerns as well, including people more closely connected to the Transportation Committee. The fact is that These funds have been in existence for decades and have been used for this purpose for decades. While there is an interest in trying to clarify that, the sense is right now this is the most expeditious way to proceed consistent with the way the state has handled these types of claims in the past. I'd be reluctant for this committee to take a particular position with regard to the broader policy question or legal question at this time and leave it to those committees that are more well-versed and steeped in those questions to address them.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm pleased that we've found with a lot of people's creative work, and thank you to both chairmen and to the administration and others on our staff and council who have helped shape and explore the legal options, as well as the witnesses from our last hearing who helped point us in some potential routes as well. $1 million always sounds like a lot, but when you divide it between 100 to 150 people, it doesn't go very far, even in terms of lost wages, that if you assume it's 6 months before we start the session and can deal with anything larger, that's really a $20,000 a year income. And so I know it's not going to make a lot of people whole, but at least it starts us towards that and starts people avoiding foreclosure and eviction. And so I think that's a really good step forward. To maximize the impact of that, I just want to be clear that in your references to family members of the deceased, I assume that that's referencing dependents who were, you know, supported by that lost person's income, and that if there's other legally recognized claims beyond that, that would be dealt with in the larger, later process. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Loeffler, yes, that's correct.
Any other comments or questions? Mr. Wendicke.
Mr. Chair, just in regard to something that Representative Loeffler asked earlier when we were talking about this before we went through all of our claims and stuff, the matter of lost wages and what that includes, it strikes me that the gist of her question was, could we be talking instead about other kinds of lost revenue streams for a person, and that could be lost commissions, a number of ways in which they wouldn't be exactly lost wages. And I wonder if you had given any consideration to that, Senator Latz.
Senator Latz.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Lindeke, I don't think it's intended that the use of the term wages here be limited to someone who is employed by someone else and receives a paycheck characterized as wages. The term is in the tort claims world is used a little more broadly than that. It is more lost compensation for work that is done. I think that's the intent. It gets a little trickier to document the losses when you get into other areas like that for people who are self-employed or people who are on commission. And you know, how do you document the lost sale that you weren't able to take in because you weren't present that day to take the phone call, you know, that gets a little bit trickier. You end up looking to past, you know, past pay periods perhaps or past years and extenuating it. But what we're really trying to do is to not get into an overly complex evaluation because that takes up more time. The longer it takes to make these evaluations, the longer it will take to get funds disbursed. So we're trying to keep it relatively simple, but understanding, I mean, there is a process we'll have to be gone through and documentation that will have to be included to avoid issues relating to fraudulent claims or using up funds that aren't really connected to lost compensation when that's the purpose here is to really help people that have lost their income.
I might add that we've been given some assurances by the Department of Administration's Risk Analysis Division that they'll be able to make those types of determinations and that this is not totally foreign to their activities of the past, that they'll be able to carry out, I think, what we're hoping is the intent, and that is let's help as many people as we can that were impacted by that collapse of the bridge as quickly as possible, and recognizing that there's much bigger issues out there that have to be dealt with by the full legislature and with full hearings in many, many different disciplines. And this particular one is just to try to get some cash out there to help people. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just one more thing that I'd like to put on the record, and that's in administering this. We heard it might take 2 weeks to 30 days to process a claim, and if you potentially could get more than 100 all at once, you know, you have to sort of prioritize your work. And I would like to suggest to the Department of Administration that they look not just at first come, first serve, but maybe in the claim form that they create or they inquire, you know, someone who happens to be living off of savings that they put into their retirement or that they have in a savings account is in a different situation than someone who is in the midst of a potential eviction action or a potential foreclosure. And I'm hoping that we can, in some ways, in the application and the consideration of these, give, you know, sort of first in line to those who are really in a tough financial bind, because we know some people are really have been stretched incredibly thin financially and put themselves at some risk. And others, while they have legitimate claims and concerns, have more ability to perhaps wait a few more weeks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer a motion before this committee that the committee recommend to the governor and to the Department of Administration that this proposed emergency hardship fund be implemented.
You've heard the motion. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you very much. The recommendation is approved by this committee. We'll see you
after the German administration
as to what they can do with this. Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman, we got some great staffing, as always we do, on the more long-term issue of resolving other issues related to compensating victims. And I think that Mr. Watson and others helped put together a pretty good roadmap of all the questions that we're going to have to ponder and face. And I would just hope that we would authorize our staff on both the House and Senate side to work together in helping writing up materials on this, looking at precedent, giving us that legal education that I so appreciate. I just learned today, for example, that mental illness isn't recognized in tort claims yet in the same way that physical illness and injury is. And, I mean, those kinds of things, just to kind of give us more background before we come back together to deal with those, and if they could, you know, email those to the committee members, that sort of thing, as we go along. I think that can help our next meetings be more effective and also help all of us in terms as we're thinking through what are some pretty complicated questions in this long list.
I'd just like to make one comment about the my appreciation for the work of Senator Latz and his willingness, or actually the aggressiveness and trying to make certain that everything was done in a very bipartisan fashion and bicameral fashion, and just really try to figure out what we can do as quickly as possible. And I think a lot of information came forward because of the previous hearings that were put together. And I also want to thank the governor's office for just being so creative and coming up, being willing to work on things and try to come up with something that can help us do exactly what we were trying to accomplish without a lot of complex activity or creating new legislation or even creating new departments or organizations to carry it out. Looking at what's already there and how we can make government work really the best for all of us, I've really appreciated this overall process. Thank you very much, Senator Latz. Any other comments? Okay, any other business, Mr. Lendecke?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Chair.
All right. The Subcommittee on Claims is adjourned.